And also we talked just a little bit about the sixth truth, which is the captain is a man of concern. And so as we finish up the sixth truth tonight and we look at verse 6, a few things that I want to point out once again to you as we finish off that truth this evening, that the captain is a man of concern. Now we see and understand that at this point in the book of Jonah in verse 6, we see that Jonah is already on this ship. He is already out in the sea, and the Lord has already brought a terrible storm their way. And the Bible says there in verses 4 and 5 that the ship is about to break in pieces, and they're doing everything they can to unload the ship, to lighten it so that it does not sink. That's what we see in verses 4 and 5. And as we get to verse 6, the Bible says that the shipmaster, that's the captain, the shipmaster came to him, that's Jonah, and he said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And so I just talked about a little bit in this sixth truth about the captain's concern. And I believe that just like this captain, he had concern for the vessel. He had concern for the crew. I believe just like that our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a concern for us. He has a concern for our well-being. He has a concern the direction that we're going. He has a concern in how we are living our course to the destination that we're getting to. The Lord Jesus has a concern about our lives. And I believe when God looks down from heaven and he sees his people, he desires the best. He desires for them to live an abundant life. And as the captain looks down and he sees Jonah, the Bible says he walks in there in verse 6, and obviously he walks into his quarters, and as he looks at him, he begins to speak. And he says, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." See, the captain came to Jonah because he had a concern. And his concern was, is what he said there in verse 6. He said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" Now understand that when the captain said to Jonah, he said, when he called him a sleeper, that was not a term of endearment. When he said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" He was not talking about a term of endearment. He was not praising him for the job that Jonah was doing. Jonah, while everybody else was busy, while everybody else was working, while everybody else was trying to stay afloat, Jonah was fast asleep. And so what I think is we see that the captain is speaking out of concern, because he looks at Jonah and he looks at everybody else and he has to say to himself, you know what, everybody else cares about where they're going. Everybody else cares about where they're heading. Everybody else cares about what they're going through right now. But Jonah doesn't seem to care a bit about what's going on. He doesn't seem to really care about the destination. He doesn't really seem to care about the course. He doesn't really seem to care about what God thinks. He doesn't really seem to care about his own life. He doesn't really seem to care about the well-being of the other people that are there. And so I believe that caused a great concern for the captain as he looked in and he saw Jonah laying there asleep. And so he came in there in verse 6 and he saw Jonah there. And he says, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" He spoke out of concern for Jonah's safety. The captain cared more about Jonah than Jonah cared about himself. The captain cared more about Jonah than Jonah cared about himself. The captain cared more about his future. The captain cared more about his well-being than Jonah cared about his own future and his own well-being. There's a lot of people out here today that are not putting much thought into their destination. A lot of people out here today that are not putting much thought into the course that they are traveling today. A lot of people out here today not putting much thought into the path that they are walking and how they are walking it and how they were living. And so we see that the captain has a great deal of concern over what Jonah is doing and how he is living. And so he comes in, he sees Jonah laying there, and he says, "What meanest thou?" In other words, what are you doing? Do you realize what's going on? Do you realize what's happening? Have you seen what's going on outside? There's there's more to life than just sitting right here. There's a lot of things just going on out in this world, and those people on that boat, they needed him to help them. The ship was going down. The ship was sinking. They were doing everything they could to keep it afloat, and Jonah didn't seem like he had any care whatsoever about it, and the captain was concerned that Jonah had no concern. And so, as the captain saw him laying there asleep, he was concerned for Jonah's safety. He was concerned about the direction that he was heading. As we see in our text, and we see that Jonah, whenever he got out of the will of God, and we see there in verse 3, he got out of the will of God, and what did he do? He got on this ship, and he got on this ship with what we see as a bunch of unbelievers. He was on this ship with people that were, the Bible says, every man crying out to his own God. He was on this boat with a bunch of unbelievers. And you know what? When we get out of God's will, and we get out of, and we try to leave God's company, that's what we end up doing. We end up on a boat. We end up surrounded by the world, and that's what he was. He was getting away from God. He was running from God, and he ended up finding himself out there on a boat, on a ship, with people that were in essence away from God too. As they say, oftentimes misery loves company. And that's exactly what Jonah was doing here. He had got out of God's will. He was running from God's direction. And so he got on a boat that was filled with other people that didn't want nothing to do with God neither. The Bible says when they got in this storm that every man cried unto his own God. And so here he was on a boat filled with unbelievers. And so he was on this boat surrounding himself with people that didn't want nothing to do with God neither. Hey, listen, when you don't want to do what God wants you to do, you're not going to surround yourself with people that do want to do what God wants to do. Yeah, when you don't want to heed God's voice, and when you don't care about doing what God wants you to do, you're not going to surround yourself with people that do. And that's what Jonah was doing. He surrounded himself with people that had no desire and no care for living for the Lord himself. He surrounded himself with people that were going away from God, going in a different direction. He surrounded himself with people that were not serving God, but were serving the world. And that's what happens. And we see that when he got out of God's will, that the Bible shows us that God brought a storm into his life. And when God brought this storm into his life, it began to shake him, and God began to rock his boat there, and God was doing everything he could to wake him up, but he was still sound asleep on that ship. And as I said this morning, God, sometimes he's got to rock the boat a little bit. Sometimes he may have to rock it a whole lot, so we'll wake up and we'll see what's going on. And the captain of this ship was doing everything. He went down there. He saw Jonah laying there in that boat. He was fast asleep while everybody else was doing and working, and so he had a concern, and so he was concerned about Jonah's heart. He probably couldn't imagine how in the world could he be sitting there sleeping like that. His heart cannot be right. There's got to be something wrong with him. How in the world could he sit there or lay there and be fast asleep while the world's crashing down around him? I mean, has he gotten that far away from God? Does he not care that much? Is his heart that hard? And sometimes we can get in a very difficult place away from God, and things get dark, and that's where he was at. And there in verse 6, we see that the shipmaster came to him, and he said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" And the captain was concerned about his destiny. The captain was concerned about his eternity. Because the captain knew that if we don't make it off the boat, we're all going to die. He understood that. He knew that. And I believe that our captain, the Lord Jesus, I believe our captain, the Lord Jesus, is concerned about our eternity. I believe that he is concerned about the path that we're walking and the way that we're living. I believe that when he looks out in this world and he sees He sees this family split up and broke up, and he sees this man on drugs or this woman on drugs or this one as a prostitute, and he sees this one over here drunk, and he sees this one over here running around on his wife and this and her over here doing this, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and these folks over here in homosexuality, and these folks over here having abortions. And I think when God looks down from heaven and he sees what society is doing, even his own people, that you can't hardly tell any difference between them and the world itself, I believe it breaks the heart of God. And I think when God looks down at this world, he is concerned about the direction and the path that his people are on. And so when we see right here that the shipmaster, the captain, he is concerned about Jonah. And Jonah isn't even concerned about himself. We see the seventh truth. Not only is the captain a man of concern, but we see that the captain speaks truth. There in verse 6, when he met Jonah, what did he say? He said, when he saw Jonah, he said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" He didn't come in and try to say, "Hey, would you like to come up and have a tea party?" He didn't come in there and say, "Hey, how you doing? How's everything been?" You know, and all that kind of stuff. He come in there, and the first thing that come out of his mouth when he saw Jonah laying there is he says, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" He was telling him the truth of what he was. He was telling him the truth. He come down there, he saw him. He saw that he was laying there. He saw that he didn't have a care in the world. He saw that he was fast asleep. And he came in there and he said exactly what Jonah needed to hear. He says, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Don't you realize what's happening? You're fast asleep." And so the captain speaks the truth. The captain revealed the problem in Jonah's heart. And he says, "What are you doing? You're sleeping." And so he revealed the spiritual condition of Jonah. And Jonah needed to see and hear what his spiritual condition was. And so the captain, he speaks the truth. The captain is responsible for the people that are on board his ship. The captain is responsible in making sure that the folks on his ship are doing what they're supposed to do. And so the captain, he saw Jonah there, and he was, even though he wasn't necessarily a part of the crew, when he was in this situation, it was everybody's responsibility to make sure that the boat stayed afloat. And so the captain was speaking truth. And what he did was he brought that truth to light. He said exactly what Jonah needed to hear. The captain wanted Jonah to realize what he was doing. Whenever he said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" he needed Jonah to see what he was doing. That he was fast asleep when it was time to be awake. He needed Jonah to see that he was fast asleep when there were things to be done. He needed Jonah to see that he was fast asleep when there were people that needed him. Jonah, sleeping in the midst of this storm. And whenever we're sleeping, we have no idea what's going on around us. When we are sleeping, we become oblivious to our surroundings. We was at the house today. Amy was trying to take a nap. She said, "I'm going to go home and I'm going to take a nap." And I said, "All right." So she lays down there on the couch, and I was going over my message for tonight, and the kids wanted to play a board game there in the living room, and they're playing, and you know, and they're giggling and laughing and cutting up and all this kind of stuff. And I look over to Amy, and she's laying there, and she just, well, she's out. She was out. And I begin to think to myself, how in the world can she sleep in the middle of all of that, you know? And sometimes I can be like that when I'm really tired too. I can sleep, you know, with a lot of things that are going on and be completely oblivious to what's happening. But I thought to myself, how in the world can she still sleep? I mean, the kids are right there. I mean, right there in front of her. And boy, she was just, man, she was out. God was giving her the rest she needed. But you know what? In our life, I think we can get so spiritually asleep. We can get so spiritually asleep. It's almost like a spiritual hibernation. And we can get so spiritually asleep, so like a spiritual hibernation that we become oblivious. See, when you get out of God's will and you're not doing and going where God needs you to go, there's something that happens. You begin to lose light in your life. You begin to lose excitement in your life. And when you lose those things in your life, what happens is you just automatically start becoming spiritually numb and spiritually able to fall asleep, and you don't see and understand and realize the things that are going on around you. And so here he was, fast asleep while all these people needed him, fast asleep while there was work to be done, fast asleep whenever his captain needed him. And the Bible says there, he said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" And so the captain spoke truth into him. The captain gave him what he needed to hear. And that's what we need. We need the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give us what we need to hear, not just what we want to hear. Amen. We need the captain of our salvation to give us what we need so that we can have life. The Bible says itself that it is that the Word of God is the Word of life. It is the Word of life. It brings life. The Bible says he that has the Son of God hath life. And so there needed to be life. There needed to be a reviving in his heart. The Bible says that he walked in, he said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" And so the captain brought light to the situation. But Jonah had to realize where he was. He had to realize what was going on. He had to realize what he was doing. He had to see these things for himself in his life. The next truth is, the eighth truth, is the captain's command. As we look there in verse 6, notice what the captain's command was. The Bible says, "So the shipmaster, the captain, he came to him and he said to him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper?' And he said, 'Arise and call upon thy God.'" And so he said there in verse 6, we see the captain's command. The captain's command was to do what? Was to arise. It was to get up. It was to, the word arise has the idea of it's time for action. It's time to do something. The nap time is over. And the devil wants to do everything he can to help you to be just as asleep and just as unaware as possible. Because the devil doesn't want you to realize. He doesn't want you to see. He wants you to be blind to this situation. He doesn't want you to comprehend what's going on around you. He wants the crew to fail. He wants the ship to sink. And so the captain's command was the command to arise. And why does the captain say to arise? Because the captain sees that there's an important need to get things done while there is time to get things done. Amen. And that's the time in which we're living at right now. Our captain in heaven, he tells us to go and he tells us to do because we have this much time left. Does that make sense? You know what? We got the time left that's in between my finger right there. That's how much time we got left right in there. And you can't even see what's in between that. That's how much time we got left. And the captain says it's time to arise. It's time to get up. Why? Because the captain sees and understands that there is a need. There is a purpose. There is a reason why it's time to arise. There's a reason why it's not time to be asleep. But God's people are asleep all over this world. God's people are asleep all over in every church. People just asleep. And God needs his people to wake up and see that nap time has to be over. Because there are things that's got to be done. Because we have this much time. Because you see, when the captain was on that ship and he was looking around and he could see everything that was happening in the storm and how the ship was falling apart and all the stuff, how they were trying to do everything they could just to survive, the captain could see. The captain knew that the time was at hand. The captain could see. The captain knew, and the captain understood that if you're going to do something, then the time is now. Help us to be able to get anything accomplished and anything done, that the time is right now. You can't wait till tomorrow because the ship may be broken by tomorrow. It has to be done right now. And so the captain saw the need. And I believe our Father in heaven, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, our captain, that's why he tells us to go. That's why he tells us to do. Because he understands, he knows, he sees that the time is at hand. The time is at hand. And God needs his people to be in position. God needs his people to be at their post. God needs his position to get to wake up and get out of sleep. God needs his people to be in position. And so he tells, the captain says, to arise. And that word arise has the idea of taking action, doing something. The captain has a desire for our ship, our vessel, our life. He has a desire for that to be everything that it can be for God. To go exactly where God needs it to go. We need to make sure that we don't let the world and the devil have control of our ship. The Bible said the shipmaster came to him and he said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" The ninth truth is the captain was a man of opportunity. The captain was a man of opportunity. There in verse 6, notice he said, "So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper?' He said, 'Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not.'" So you know what the captain did? The captain provided an opportunity for Jonah. He says, "I'm going to give you an opportunity to arise," because listen, you may not get another chance to arise. "I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray," because you may not get another chance to pray. You may not get another opportunity to do that. God was going to give him an opportunity right here to get things right. I tell you what, God was going to give Jonah an opportunity right here. I believe if Jonah would have got down on his face right here and he'd have said, "God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do," he'd have never got swallowed up by that fish. Amen? That's exactly right. If he would have said, "God, I promise I will do what you want me to do. I'm so sorry, I was wrong. God, please forgive me." He'd have never got thrown off the boat and he'd have never got swallowed by that fish. But God gave him an opportunity. The captain gave him an opportunity. The captain told him, he said, "Arise." The captain gave him, if he didn't care about him, he'd have left him there. But the captain did care about him. And the captain wanted him. And so the captain came to him. And the captain talked to him. And then the captain gave him an opportunity to do something. That's exactly what God does for us. He took the first steps to us. He made the first comments to us. He told us truth. He told us what we needed to hear. And then he gave us the opportunity to do something. He gave us an opportunity to do something. To serve. To be a part of something. And he says, "Arise. Do something about your life. Don't just let it waste away. Don't just let the boat sink. But get up and do something." And he gave him an opportunity, and that's what God does. What opportunity has God given you tonight? I mean, just think about the opportunities that God's given all of us here tonight. We have the opportunities are limitless for us. They're limitless. Sometimes I think we just sit around waiting on an opportunity just to fall out of the sky when really they're all around us. We just need to take a step in a simple direction, and the opportunity is there. There's opportunities all around us every single day. The Bible says here, the Bible says that he said, "Arise, call upon thy God." Arise, the idea of a call to action, a call to do something about your life, a call to opportunity. And that's what God is. He gave him opportunity. He also was calling him to get his heart right with God. Not only did he give him an opportunity to do something, but he gave him an opportunity to get his heart right. Notice he says, "O sleeper, arise," and then he says, "Call upon thy God." The captain was going to give him the opportunity not only to do something about his life, but was going to give him the opportunity to get his heart right with God. Maybe that's what the Lord's doing to our hearts tonight. Maybe God may be saying to us, "Hey, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get your heart right. because this ship's going down. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get your heart right, because if you don't, I got a fish prepared for you. That's kind of scary thinking. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get your heart right with God, or I'm going to break the ship. The Bible says that he said, arise and call upon thy God. The opportunity there to get his heart right with the Lord. The opportunity to change his life. The opportunity to serve. The opportunity to get back on track. The opportunity to be a witness to these men that were lost on this ship. There was a young lady, and we was at the revival yesterday. There was a young lady, and she began to testify, and she was speaking to the people, and she said, I want you to pray for me. She said, I haven't been living my life like I should, and I got off on the wrong path, and I was going in the wrong direction, and I had got away from the Lord. And she said, I'm not what I need to be, but I'm doing everything I can to get where I need to. She just like us, understood that we're not everything that we need to be neither, but we're doing what we can to get on track. We're doing what we can to go in the right direction. And she was saying that, and tears were coming down her eyes, and people were crying and weeping with her because they understand. And they see in their hearts and lives that they are the same way, that sometimes we're not always going in the direction that God's going, and sometimes God does rock the boat. Sometimes God does shake the ship a little bit, and sometimes God does prepare these storms in our life. And she understood, just like we understand, that when these times come, that it is needful that we get our hearts right with God, and that's exactly what she did. How do we know tonight? How do we know that God's not saying, if you don't get your heart right, I got a fish prepared for you? How do we know that? Where is our heart at tonight with God? And God's given us an opportunity tonight to pray. God's given us an opportunity tonight to arise and do something about where we are in our spiritual life. So the captain was offering opportunity. Notice the ninth truth, or the tenth truth, I'm sorry. The tenth truth is the captain offered grace and mercy. Notice there in verse 6, the Bible says that the shipmaster came to him and he said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And so the captain was offering grace and mercy. Notice that phrase. He says there in verse 6, if so be that God will think upon us. He was showing Jonah that there was a way of escape, and that way of escape could be through the simple fact that man, if you repent and you get your heart right and you get your life right and you ask for God's cleansing and you pray for God's grace and mercy, that God will hear you, because God is thinking about you. God sees where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And he says it could be, man, if you'll just do something about where you're at, if you'll just get your heart right and you'll repent and you'll ask for God's forgiveness, if you'll do that, then he says it may be that God will think upon us. That God will have grace and God will shed mercy on this situation. I don't know about you, but I need God's grace and mercy every day. God's grace and mercy every day. And in these situations that we are in our life, when the boat is rocking and it's shaking and the storms are terrible and we're not sure what's going to happen and we're praying and God gives us that opportunity to pray and lift up our hands to Him and get our hearts right and ask for God's grace and mercy and have the opportunity to be able to receive it. And so the captain was offering grace and mercy. Offering an opportunity, offering a chance of redemption, offering a chance of repentance and a change of direction. Offering him at this moment right here the chance to change his course. change his course. But Jonah, like a lot of us sometimes, you ever know anybody that's hard-headed? Sometimes, or stubborn. We can be hard-headed sometimes. We can be stubborn. Stubborn as a mule. Sometimes God may have to set our barley fields on fire. Does that make sense? Right. You ever heard that message preached a long time ago? And God sets your barley fields on fire. Sometimes God may have to set our barley fields on fire to get our attention. Sometimes God may have to send a great fish our way. And that's exactly what he had to do for Jonah. And how do we know tonight that God's not saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to get your heart right. I'm giving you an opportunity to pray and ask for grace and mercy. Because if you don't, I'm going to set your barley field on fire. Because if you don't, I got a fish that I'm going to prepare for you. This is just the storm. The fish is on the way. How do we know tonight? And where are you at? Is Christ the captain of your ship? He offered mercy. He offered grace. And the 11th truth is, the captain gives the discipline. Notice he says there in verse 6, he says, arise, call upon thy God, if it be so that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And we understand tonight that we have a God in heaven that thinks about us more than we can possibly imagine. That he loads us daily with benefits and that he thinks of us more than we can possibly ever imagine. And he says here in the text that if so be that God will think upon us, that we'd perish not. Where's that? Well, that's part of their eternity. That's also part of the course. But there was going to be something that happened over in verse 15 that was going to come in the form of some discipline, some correction, so to speak. The Bible says, and they took up Jonah and they cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Now, the captain didn't have a desire to cast Jonah into the sea. That's part of God. That's part of God showing his grace, and that's part of the captain of grace and mercy demonstrating that. Because what did they do? They said, oh, well, let us cast lots and let's see who the lot falls on. The Bible says it fell on Jonah. And they said, what can we do to stop the storm? And he said, cast me into the sea. Did they cast him into the sea? They did. But they didn't at first. What'd they do? They kept on rowing. They did everything they could to try to do everything they could to keep from throwing Jonah into the sea. That's God's grace. That's God's mercy. Because the captain has no desire to cast us into the sea. The captain has no desire to get rid of you. Because he is willing that all receive him. He is willing that everybody come to him. He is willing that everybody get saved. He doesn't want anybody to perish. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the captain here was not willing to throw Jonah off the boat. He would hold out rather Jonah stay on the boat, just like God would hold out rather you stay on the ship. But if we're not going to follow him and we're not going to get our hearts right, God just may have a fish prepared for you. And if you're not saved and you don't get your heart right, then eventually you will perish. You will perish and you will die and you will go to a devil's hell. But the captain of the ship doesn't desire that. He doesn't desire to see you thrown off the ship, but he is the one that gives the discipline. He is the one that makes the call. The captain is the one that says, throw him overboard or keep him on the ship. The captain had no desire to get rid of him. Just like God has no desire to cast you away. What does the Bible say? All that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's right. I'll give you a short story and then we'll leave. Many years ago, very familiar, I'm sure you're all familiar with it, the Titanic. And as the Titanic was out in the sea, when the Titanic was going down, do you know there were three boats that were close by? There were three ships that were close by. There was one ship that was 7 miles away. 7 miles away, and that ship was called the Samson. Now, with a ship called the Samson, you would think it would be a strong boat. You'd think it'd be a mighty boat. But that boat was out there, and it was 7 miles away. And they saw the white flares go up in the sky. They received the calls that the ship was going down and the people needed help. And they were 7 miles away. But they didn't respond. And the reason why they didn't respond was because they were illegally hunting seals. And as they were illegally hunting seals, they thought if we go help them, then we'll get arrested and we'll lose everything we got. And they were more concerned about themselves and their own well-being than they were all those people out there dying in the sea. And sometimes in life, folks can be that way. More concerned about themselves. That's what Jonah was. He was more concerned about himself. There were people on that ship that could die with the ship going down. And instead of Jonah helping, what was he doing? He was sleeping. He was more concerned about himself than everybody else's safety. Just like the Samson. There was a second boat out there called the Californian. It was 14 miles away. They also saw the flares, and they also got the calls, but they didn't come to help neither. And the reason why they didn't come to help was because they said, there's a lot of icebergs, and there's a lot of ice that's around us, and we just don't find, it's just not the right conditions for us to come out there and help. It don't look just right. It doesn't look just perfect. And so because the conditions are right, we don't feel like it would be good for us to go offer any assistance. So they didn't. They never went. And these folks, this captain of this ship, was more concerned about his own self, more concerned about everything just had to be perfect in order for him to do anything. And I've lived long enough to know that things are not always going to be perfect. You just got to do it. Amen? You just got to have faith, and you just got to trust, and you just have to put one foot in front of the other. There are situations that come that way, but this captain, 14 miles away, also let all those people die. Then there was the third ship, the Carpathia, 58 miles away. 58 miles away, going in a completely opposite direction, not even going in the same direction. They got the call. The Titanic was taken on water and sinking. The captain of that ship, and it is recorded and said that even the crew, members of his crew, that after they got the call that the Titanic was taken on water and they needed some assistance, that the captain got down on his knees and he prayed. And his crewmen that were in there with him got down on their knees with him and they prayed. And they asked God to help them as they did everything they could to make it to the Titanic before all the people died. And they did everything they could to get to the Titanic as fast and as quick as possible. They saved a few hundred people. But imagine what the one 7 miles away could have done. Imagine what the one 14 miles away could have done. How many descendants, think about this. 7 miles away. And because they wasn't living right and because they wasn't doing right, they were too scared to do anything and they let people die. They was thinking about themselves. They was concerned about their own money, concerned about their own wealth, concerned about what they were doing. And they were 7 miles away. All those people they could have saved and all the descendants and the kids and grandkids and so forth and so on that could have been here that are not here now. All because the captains of those ships said, we're not coming. And they were more concerned about themselves. Praise God for the men like the Carpathias that are out there. That when see a situation was to say, you know what, God? I know we're a long ways out. And I know that there are icebergs all around. But God, I just pray that you'd help us to get there and help save these people. And they did. Some. But imagine maybe how different things could have been if the other two would have showed up first. Imagine how different things would have been if both ships would have came. and all the kids that would have lived and all the other people that would have lived. But those are things we'll never know. And so as we leave here tonight, think about this. As you are on this ship, whatever ship you're on, as you're on this boat, and you're sailing off into the seas on your life and your journey, when God comes by and he shakes the boat a little bit and he's trying to get you back on track, when the shipmaster comes and he says it's time to get things right, if you'll get things right, you never know how much pain and suffering that you will be able to avoid, not just for yourself, but other people. You never know how the course of everything will change just because you decide to be faithful. Just because you decide to get up and do something. Just because you decide to have your heart right before God. The opportunities are endless. We need more folks like the Carpathias out there tonight. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening. We do thank you, Lord, for being so good to us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to